Hey, listeners. Thanks for joining us for the very first QNS podcast. I'm Mark Hallam, a reporter here in the Courier newsroom. Later, I'll speak with Bill Perry, another one of our reporters, about the DA race and how it drew to a cliffhanger of a conclusion. But first, we've got two stories on immigration that happened right here in Queens. Also to come, new bus lanes on Fresh Pond Road, and a Ridgewood mother applauds the passage of a new law protecting children from sexual assault. A pregnant mother of two was facing deportation last week after being arrested by ICE in family court. But after Alma Centeno Santiago's legal team filed an emergency request in New York's Southern District Court to prevent her deportation, the Middle Village woman, originally from Guatemala, was granted temporary stay in the United States. Her lawyers say they'll continue to fight for their client until she's granted the right to stay with her children, both of whom are U.S. citizens. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was in Elmhurst this week. She spoke with Congresswoman Grace Meng about immigration and the Dream and Promise Act, a bill that would establish a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers. The bill passed in the House but is expected to fall short of a pass in the Republican-controlled Senate. Pelosi's comments came in the wake of the Trump administration's delayed nationwide effort to deport undocumented immigrants originally scheduled for over the weekend. The Queens DA race was another stunner, almost a year to the day after AOC beat incumbent Joe Crowley. And after this race, we're still dealing with some of the votes that are still coming in, the absentee ballots that haven't been counted. And those numbers keep going from 3,800 to now 6,300. And it's looking like the margins could be wider for Katz to take this, or for Caban to actually take this.
From what I understand, Katz would need something like 80% of those ballots, but I don't know if that's true or not. There's so many things that we just are up in the air at this moment in time. We probably won't know a thing until July 3rd.
Right.
But it's kind of looking like a public defender will take over as Queen's top prosecutor.
Yeah. If you look at the electoral maps from CUNY Graduate Center, Katz, she got a lot of support across the borough, but it was all pretty mild compared to Caban's deep, deep support in Northwest Queens.
Katz was overwhelmed in Northwest Queens. Mm-hmm. Overwhelmed. That campaign caught fire going down the stretch like few I've ever seen. Working Families Party and Democratic Socialists of America, they put all their resources into that. So you know the numbers. They had thousands of people out on the street knocking on doors, mm-hmm. texting, phone calls, and it was over. The Katz campaign was completely overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And they had the ones with the Red Horse Strategies, the progressive PR firm, and people actually pounding the streets overwhelmed the big money PR firm.
Mm-hmm. Katz paid them over $600,000 for this campaign out of their campaign coffers.
And they make a specialty of handling progressive campaigns. And they got overwhelmed by one.
Right.
Overwhelmed.
Right. And then you have rumors circulating throughout Queens, people trying, you have reporters trying to confirm prospects that a Democrat might take the Republican line, either Greg Lasick or Melinda Katz.
Yeah, they think it's going to be a repeat of what Robert Holden did to Elizabeth Crowley a few years back, and I don't think it's going to happen because you spoke to the GOP's leader, didn't you?
Yeah, and they said, no, our candidate is not a placeholder. Daniel Kogan is the guy we're going to stand behind, and we're going to kick his campaign into gear to give Queens voters a real choice in the general election.
So the bottom line, I guess, is this, that Tiffany Caban, 7 years out of law school, a public defender, will now become the county's top prosecutor in an office of over 600 when she's never managed an office that large.
Yep.
And career prosecutors, I assume, will be putting their resumes together and clearing out their desks. And what does that mean for the future of Queens? And that, in essence, is a big problem that I smell coming. between the progressive west of Queens and the more conservative east and southeast, you know, the other parts where homeowners live. You know, that's the difference. Homeowners, they look at the big picture. They're invested in Queens. The progressives in the west, they're renting. And they might move on once the flames start in this borough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, in the long term, she could be successful. But in the short term, it's absolute that she's going to have some conflict within the office when she takes over, and, you know, conflict with the existing powers that be.
And I think going back to my early conversations with Judge Lasak, who of course ran the office pretty much for 25 years before he went to the bench, he stressed his entire campaign how experience was the most important part, and that career politicians shouldn't even be in this race because it's not a political office.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the judge was right, and apparently that's why he seems so crushed at his vote watch party at Bourbon Street in Bayside.
And if you look at that, look at it that way too, it would even be unprecedented for one of the politicians to have won. You know, that would have been something you don't see in the city or any other examples anywhere else where someone who's a councilman becomes a DA.
You know, and I'll say this, that Mina Malik impressed me greatly.
Mm-hmm.
She has experience. She was with the Civilian Complaint Review Board. She was their executive director. She's run huge staffs down in Washington, D.C., and she worked in the Brooklyn DA's office.
Mm-hmm.
But she never got any traction. She never got any traction. Neither did, of course, Nieves, who also had a fine resume. And Rory Lantzman, you know, he oversaw all five DA's offices in his chairmanship of the Justice Committee at the City Council. None of these three ever got a look in by the voters, which I thought was strange.
Yeah.
It should not be a political office. It really shouldn't.
Right.
Maybe that's the reform we need.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Mark.
Talk to you next week. Right?
No!
Right? The Department of Transportation is moving forward with their plan to bring bus lanes to Fresh Pond Road this summer. The Ridgewood community is not happy. Months of community feedback suggests drivers fear they'll lose parking, businesses fear they'll lose customers, and bus riders fear that in the end, the buses won't move much faster. New York City public schools will soon have the tools to help students manage their emotions and repair harm caused by crime. The mayor's office with First Lady Shirlane McCray and schools chancellor Richard Carranza announced that the city's schools would now have access to social emotional learning and restorative justice practices in partnership with the National University System's Sanford Harmony Program. The mayor's office says these practices will be rolled out over the next 3 years and are important to help schools and communities be more proactive in changing school culture and climate. A Ridgewood activist can finally rest easy after Aaron's Law was overwhelmingly approved by the Assembly in the waning hours of the legislative session early Friday morning. Connie Altamirano, a 45-year-old single mother who suffers from PTSD, among other complications following her sexual abuse as a child, had worked tirelessly advocating for the passage of the Child Victims Act, which Governor Andrew Cuomo signed into law in February. She vowed that she would not stop lobbying efforts in Albany until Aaron's Law was passed as well. Aaron's Law will provide a tool for children to protect themselves, to know the difference between safe and unsafe touches, as well as safe and unsafe secrets. Altamirano said, "I kept my promise and kept up the fight. I did good and I'm very proud of the work I did." Activists are continuing their challenge against the Queens Democratic machine as two House Democrats face challenges from progressive opponents. Congressman Gregory Meeks not only made a list of Democrats to be unseated by Roots Action, a progressive organization, Meeks, who was just appointed to the Queens County Democratic Party as their new chair, faces a challenge from Shanyat Chowdhury, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. Chowdhury was a former Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez staffer, and he's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, and he'll be facing Meeks in the upcoming primary, which will take place in 2020. Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney is also facing a challenge from Erica Vladimir. Vladimir made headlines back in 2015 after speaking out against her former boss, State Senator Jeff Klein, who she alleged had sexually harassed her. Now, after recouping from what she claims was a very traumatic experience, she's now getting back into politics to challenge Maloney and reform education policy. I spoke with Erica Vladimir last week, and here's a clip of what she said.
Most of us across the city, the state, and the country have seen that we need more leadership to advance the progressive policies that we all believe in and believe should be enacted and help redefine what it means to be a society and a community that looks to help and lift up one another. Running for Congress felt in my mind and in my heart and in my gut the best way to become that person who can help lift those voices.
Listeners, tune in next week as we give you the scoop on the latest Queens news. This show was written by me, Mark Hallam, and Jacob Kay. Our reporters include Bill Perry, Carlotta Muhammad, Jenna Bagcall, Emily Davenport, and Max Parrott. Our editor is Robert Pozoricki. This show is edited by Jacob Kay. Thank you to our publisher, Victoria Schnepps.